Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 through 13. This is the reading of God's word. You shall sow your land for 6 years and gather in its yield. But on the seventh year, you shall let it rest and lie fallow, so that the needy of your people may eat, and whatever they leave, the beast of the field may eat. You are to do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you are to do your work, but on the seventh day you shall cease from labor, so that your ox, your donkey may rest, and the son of your female slave, as well as your stranger, may refresh themselves. Now concerning everything which I have said to you, be on your guard, and do not mention the name of other gods, nor let them be heard from your mouth. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word, that through your word that we may hear your loving voice telling us the wonderful stories of Christ. And Father, we pray by your grace that we will meet our Lord Jesus Christ through your word. And through your word, we will be able to see our heavenly realities, so that we may give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Oh Father, let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're looking at chapter 23, verses 10 through 13. Verse 10 and verse 11, well, let me read them to you again. You shall sow your land for 6 years and gather in its yield, but on the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, so that the needy of your people may eat, and whatever they leave, the beast of the field may eat. You are to do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. These verses are about the observances of the Sabbath year. In verse 12, 6 days you are to do your work, but on the seventh day you shall cease from labor, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female slave as well as your stranger may refresh themselves. Obviously, this verse is about the observance of the Sabbath. And verse 13. Now, concerning everything which I have said to you, be on your guard, and do not mention the name of other gods, nor let them be heard from your mouth. Here, we are to serve God and God alone and do what He says, do what He commands. Here in our passage, the focus of the Sabbath year is on the land, and the focus of the Sabbath day is on the man and the beast. 6 days and 6 years we are commanded to work. But on the seventh day or seventh year, we are commanded to rest. From the very beginning, God created man to work. He commanded Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over all the living creatures. And as we have seen already, this command of God is for us, man, to be like God. How does God carry out His eternal plan? By the work of creation and providence. And the providence is God's preserving and governing. And man must do the same. Man must imitate God. So be fruitful and multiply. Well, creation. Just like God created the universe, men are to create. And subduing and ruling over. This is the providence. This is what God does in His providence. And man is to call to be like God. And all that man does, he is to do all the works for the glory of God. The work, from the very beginning, is not just for surviving. It was not just to eat that men are to work. The ultimate purpose for us, and thus the ultimate purpose for our works, is to be like God. Not working is to reject that purpose. Thus, being lazy is sin. But we have to remember that from the very beginning, this command to work is given with the command to rest on the seventh day. And if it concerns the land, the rest, seventh year. This also is commanding men to be like God. Why? Because God worked, created 6 days, and He rested on the seventh day. We are called to imitate our God. As you can see, the work is a good thing. But sin enters. Until that sin came in, the works of men were very effective in its purpose. And that purpose was to bring glory and honor to God. See, ruling over the creation and serving God as the royal priest, they were very effective. But after sin enters, the purpose of works for the sinners, they changed. And the works under the sun is under God's curse, apart from Christ. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, then to Adam he said, after they sinned, God says to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you are taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It was because of sin, now the works of men, it was under God's curse. All the works that the sinners do now is for themselves. It was no longer for the glory of God. Thus, Ecclesiastes 1, verse 3, what advantage does man have in all his work, which he does under the sun? Answer is nothing. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 20 through 23, therefore I completely despair of all the fruit of my labor for which I have labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, then he gives his legacy to one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor and in his striving with which he labors under the sun? Because all his days his task is painful and grievous, even at night his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. Oh yeah, I mean, what is all this work that sinners do? Whatever the accomplishments that they might think they have made, what is it at the end? They work so hard and they go to hell. And all those works that they have done completely it will be destroyed when Jesus returns. See, it was not supposed to be like that, but because of sin, it is like that now. Because of sin, the works of the sinful man became futile and something that God is not pleased with. And of course, in Jesus Christ, our work brings the glory of God, but only because of Jesus Christ. But apart from Christ, all the work is for what? Without faith in Jesus Christ, the works of the sinners are not pleasing to God. Thus, when Cain brought an offering to God without true faith, God was not happy with him. In today's language, even as he came to worship God, God was not happy with him. Because he didn't do it with faith. And according to Genesis chapter 4, away from the presence of the Lord, the sinners now, they work to build the city of man, not the city of God, heaven. They work just for the world, the city of this world. And they work for their own glory, for their own name. This is clearly shown at the event of Tower of Babel. As they build this tower, they said in Genesis 11 verse 4, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city, and tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will scatter about abroad over the face of the whole earth." The sinners work for themselves and work to rebel against God. Thus, they have indeed become the slaves of the futile work of this world. Thus we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 2, "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity under the sun." I mean, you think about this. What is work of men when Jesus returns? It wasn't supposed to be like this. They were commanded to do all works for the glory of God, but because of sin, it only brings God's judgment, His curse. And all the accomplishments of men will be destroyed when he returns. The bondage that the Israelites were under in Egypt symbolizes this very fact. They are saved out of that. Salvation from work without rest. Salvation from slavery, from the futile works of this world. Salvation from vanity. Salvation from the curse of God. The Egypt is a symbol of this sinful world. For the Israelites, it was a place without rest. They worked without joy. Works without fruits to enjoy. But you see, God has saved them from all of this. And that's the story. You and I, we are saved from all of this. But this does not mean we no longer work. No. But now we work for the glory of God. We work to serve God. This is what Christian life is all about. It's not to make a living. It's not just to eat. It's not just to survive. Oh, it's not just to be successful or have this or have that. Because from the very beginning, God's intention for work is to be for the glory of God. We now work for the glory of God, and on one day out of seven, we rest to witness our eternal rest of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. We rest to witness that this world is not everything for us. Eternal rest. What is eternal rest? That's our eternal life, heavenly life. Well, we could describe eternal rest as so many things, but it is complete absence of the earthly work. So you're resting from the world and the affairs of the world. You're resting from sin, because in heaven there's no more sin. So it's eternal rest from sin and from the worldly things. Don't think of eternal rest as you just go heaven and you sleep eternally. You rest eternally. That's not what eternal rest is. Oh, we will be working in heaven. But it's not worldly work. And it's not for our own selves or our own glory. It's not to get, you know, things of the world. Oh, yes, we'll work. We'll serve God. We'll worship God. And we'll work for His glory. But that is called eternal rest. Because you're resting from the world. You're resting from sin. In heaven, all the works of this world ceases forever. And even here on earth, in Jesus Christ, we do not work for the food which perishes. That's not what our life is all about. Now, the Sabbath year and the Sabbath day of the Old Testament point to the eternal heavenly rest. And they are not given to restrict God's people. Some people think that, you know, Christianity is all about restriction. You know, God tells us, don't do this and don't do that. You know, when you tell your little child, don't touch the stove, don't do that, where is it coming from? Just to restrict your child's behavior? Or is it because you love that child? You don't want that child to get hurt. All of God's commandments is for us. And it's not about your well-being of this world, obviously. It's a spiritual well-being. And if you do all He commands spiritually, you will benefit. God loves you. That is why He will tell you, don't do certain things. Just like a loving parent would do the same. But sinful people, they don't get it. They only see God as someone who just says, don't do this and don't do that, and ruining, you know, your life or something. The Sabbath is not given to God's people to restrict them. Sabbath and Sabbath year, they are the Old Testament types that point to the reality of God's people being free from this sinful world. They are the Old Testament type that point to the freedom from the futile works of this world. As they observe, they are witness. They witness the reality that they live by God's work, not by their own works of the world. Not to observe them is to deny what our God has accomplished for His people. Not by not observing them, they witness that their focus is on this world and the wealth of this world. And by observing, we mean with our hearts, of course, not just outwardly observing it. In the Old Testament time, some of the Israelites pretended only outwardly. They have forced themselves to observe these commandments. Why? Because not observe it, then they will die. You know, in Amos chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, listen to this. Amos chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. In these two verses, we see these sinners saying in their hearts, this is what they say, "When will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath will be over, that we may open the wheat market, to make the bushel smaller and the shekel bigger, and to cheat with these honest scales, so as to buy the helpless for money, and the needy for a pair of the sandals, and that we may sell the refuse of the wheat. When will this Sabbath be over so that we could go out and make more money?" This is what Israelites said to themselves. Even as outwardly they pretended to observe Sabbath, because not to do so, they will get killed, so they pretend. But in their heart they say, "When will this Sabbath over so I could go out and make money?" See, they did not enjoy Sabbath. Because the whole purpose was to enjoy. So that God says, "Don't work." So that you could have this enjoyment with God, of God. As we come together to worship and have fellowship with God, we are to enjoy. Because if you're working out there, obviously, we cannot do this. So it's not to restrict you, but it's to bless you. So that you will have your eyes focused on Jesus and heaven rather than of this world. See, these sinners did not enjoy Sabbath. For them, Sabbath day was a burden. They did not delight it with the Sabbath. In fact, they did not enjoy the salvation that God has accomplished for them. They liked being the slaves of this world. They wanted to live the life of the bondage. They actually wanted to go back to Egypt. Brothers and sisters, understand that Sabbath is all about enjoying the fellowship with God. And this is what the ultimate purpose of the eternal Sabbath, the eternal rest. It is to enjoy God. Oh, brothers and sisters, I really, really pray that you would understand this, that it is to enjoy. Because obviously on this Lord's Day, if you go and see a movie or whatever, you are enjoying that activity. But see, on this Lord's Day, God wants you to enjoy God as you have fellowship with Him, as you praise His holy name, as you worship Him. That you rest from the worldly affairs so that your focus will be on God and your eternal home. That's the purpose. Why is this bad? Why some Christians don't like it? Why? I mean, the reason is simple. Because their focus is on this world. And I'm not saying, you know, there are people who has to work on Lord's Day. But even as they work, their heart is at church worshiping God. And I'm not blaming those kind of people. That's not what I'm talking about. And this is not to give you guilty feeling. No, I really want you to enjoy this Sabbath. Not have a guilty feeling. See, this is the ultimate purpose of our salvation, is to enjoy God now and forever. And this is what the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath is all about. We are to have our focus on God and heaven. Of course, we are to do this every day, but more so on the Lord's Day, even as we gather as a church to worship our God together. By not working, we are to set this day apart from that purpose, giving the land a year's rest. Now think about this. God says, give a land a 1 year rest. So you don't sow, you don't grow anything. You know, this is not an easy thing for the people who are worried about the finances, who are worried about the world. Think about it. If you are a farmer and you have to sell these things to make a living, like, you know, world will say, and God says, okay, you rest the land 1 year. Don't grow anything. This is serious. Will you do it? It truly takes faith to observe this, to obey this. Listen to what Leviticus 25, verse 18 through 22 says. You shall thus observe my statutes and keep my judgments, so as to carry them out, that you may live securely on the land. Then the land will yield its produce, so that you can eat your fill and live securely on it. But if you say, where are we going to eat on the seventh year if we do not sow or gather in our crops? Then I will so order my blessing for you in the sixth year that it will bring forth the crop for 3 years. When you are sowing the eighth year, you can still eat all things from the crop, eating the old until the ninth year when its crops come in. God says, if you rest seventh year, on sixth year, I will give you 3 years worth of crops. But people, the sinners, they will not trust God. If you close down your farm 1 year, God says, I will give you 3 years worth of crop on sixth year. But see, Israelites still could not trust God. Now, this is Old Testament, so don't apply it directly to your situation. Let's say you have business. God is not saying, if you close down on Sunday, on Saturday, I will give you three times, profit. No. But God does say, don't worry about what to eat and what to drink and what to wear. He does say that. So even as you close down your business on Lord's Day, God will make sure that you don't have to worry about what to eat and what to drink and what to wear. We saw the same principle when we looked at the story of manna. God provided the double portions on the sixth day so that they have enough for the seventh day. Brothers and sisters, believe God provides. Oh, he might not provide the way that you want to, way that your sinful hearts desire, but he will provide. God tells us not to worry about what to eat and what to drink and what to wear. Thus, observing the Sabbath day and the Sabbath year and today, the Lord's Day, is an act of faith. It is an act of trusting God. To delight in the Sabbath is to delight in God who provides. But the sinners do not have faith. They do not trust God. They do not delight in the Sabbath. They do not delight in the salvation of God, as if they don't want God's salvation, because salvation just gives them more problems. Because all they could think of is what God said not to do. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are not like that. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21 tells us that the reason for the Israelites being slaves of Babylonian kingdom for about 70 years was, quote, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath. All the days of its desolation, it kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete. Did you hear that? One of the reasons that they were kicked out of the promised land for 70 years. One of the reasons that that happened is because they did not keep the seventh year, Sabbath year. So when they were slaves in foreign land, the land was able to enjoy 70 years of Sabbath year that they did not keep. This is what the Bible tells us, that that was the reason. The New Testament Sabbath, the Lord's Day, today. It is the day for us to witness that we do not belong to this world. It is the day for us to show that we are no longer slaves of the futile works of this world. It is the day for us to witness that ultimately we do not live by the things of this world, but we live by God. By observing the Lord's Day, by worshiping God as His covenant people, we witness our eternal reality of heaven, that our God is victorious King over this world and sin. On this glorious day, our focus is on God and on His kingdom. Thus, all the activities that force us to focus on this world and things of this world, we rest from them. That's why we don't watch TV, because when did TV ever help you to focus on God? We rest from all these activities that prevent us to focus, have our eyes focused on God and His kingdom. We just feel so bad that our love for God is divided. That our love for God goes to something else other than God. So we don't let those activities that would hinder us from focusing on God, we rest from those activities. When you go and work, that work, Monday through Friday work, when did that work ever help you to focus on Jesus Christ? So you have to arrange your life so that on this holy day that you will not have any hindrance as you focus your eyes upon Jesus Christ. And you show that to the world, to your friends. Say, this is who I am. This is how I live. And if you want me to do something with you that would have my eyes focused on other things than Jesus, I'm sorry, I will do it with you tomorrow, but not on this holy day, because I want to enjoy God. This is our confession. This is our conviction. They will show you how they are so worldly. They will show you what their purpose is and what their focus is. All I'm saying is let us show them what is our focus, what is our purpose. It's to enjoy God. We seek the fellowship with God. We seek to enjoy our triune God. And believe me, it is most easiest to enjoy God on this holy day. As you rest from the world. The sinners love to store up for themselves the treasure of this world. And they think that that is their security. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God and God alone is our security. God's grace is always sufficient for us. We have the eternal rest in Jesus Christ, eternally resting from this world and sin. Jesus gives us that eternal rest. You see, hell is the place where there is no rest. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the marks of his name. But for us, Revelation 14 verse 13a, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Lord, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors. On this glorious day, we're witnessing our reality of heaven where we will rest from our labors. It is our present spiritual reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, already accomplished for us. I will end my sermon. I mean, I could go on and on, but you already know what Lord's Day is all about. And we're not saying observe it, like legalistically, I should say. Because at the end, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, is for you. See, for us who are in Christ, the work of heaven is now given to us. Not the futile works of this sinful world, but work of heaven. And it is effective work. It's not futile because it is the work of God. And that work is building the God's eternal temple. No, we are not talking about building. But we are talking about people. And we must understand all our work in this world in terms of this. Thus we do all things for the glory of God. In Christ, all our works are now the participation of the glorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ in building His church. And in this work, God says, one out of 7 days, you are to rest from the work and focus on heaven. Focus on Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. See how when sin came in, everything is in vain, vanity. But in Christ, now there is no vanity for us. Remember, brothers and sisters, what our God has done for us. The Israelites in the Old Testament were able to observe the Sabbath because they came out of Egypt. If they were still in Egypt, then they could not have observed the Sabbath day even if they wanted to. The Pharaoh would not allow them to do it. But see, God saved them out of Egypt, and God commands them to observe the Sabbath. You and I, we have come out of this world. We have been saved out of this world and sin. And spiritually, this is our present reality. When Jesus returns, this reality will be visible. And show this reality every Lord's Day until the uninterrupted eternal rest is visibly consummated. Oh, how we long for that day, that Sabbath, uninterrupted Sabbath. You know, these days, you rest one day, but you gotta go back to work on Monday. Because on Monday, we cannot gather as a church to worship because God told us to work 6 days. But one day, there will be an uninterrupted Lord's Day. Forever Lord's Day. That I don't have to worry about tomorrow going back to work. But that I will be able to enjoy God forever and ever and just focus on Him and His glory forever. Worshipping Him forever. Praising Him forever. Hearing His voice, His word forever. How we long for that day. You know, why would any sinners would want that? If a sinner is forced to come to this worship, man, they long for this worship to be over and they long to this Lord's Day be over so they could go out and make more money. But see, it's not like Old Testament time when if you break Sabbath, then the church will kill you. He's treating you as an adult. He wants you to obey this out of your heart, not because you're afraid that you're going to die if you don't. He wants your heart. Your heart, the loving God heart, the loving to obey God heart that Jesus Christ has created in you. With pride of heaven, let's keep this day holy. With pride of heaven, you let everybody know who you are and what you are about. Especially on this Lord's Day, you say, I'm all about my God. My God is my focus. And the eternal life that He has accomplished for me, that's the life I desire. This is what the Lord's Day is all about. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh Father, we pray that You would bless all of us. That we may clearly know what Lord's Day is all about and what we are doing on this holy day. Let us clearly understand what is our message on this holy day. To all our friends and all our family who do not believe, what is our message? Make it clear to us, God. So that on this holy day, as we meet other people, that they will clearly see our message. That to live is Christ. that our focus is our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.